A naked American man stole my balloon.
Hey, we're doing another movie review.
Yeah, American Werewolf in London.
An American Werewolf in London, which is really good because I had seen this movie. It came out in 1981 when I was 9 years old.
Yeah, and I had never seen it.
And Tom had never seen it. Like, I had seen it a bunch of times, but I hadn't seen it for many years. And then I was scrolling through Netflix the other night and I noticed that they had it. And I was like, oh man, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
We should totally do this movie, especially because you had never seen it.
Yeah.
Now, the movie was directed by John Landis, and it was actually, it's kind of more a comedy than a horror movie, I guess, even though it's pretty gory and, you know, it's a werewolf movie, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, John Landis, up until that point, had mostly been known for comedies, obviously. He did Animal House and he did Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah, there's humor in it, but I wouldn't call it a comedy per se. But I think the humor that's in it does kind of add a new element to a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Like, there are some comedy horrors that are just zany, you know, like Army of Darkness and things like that.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's like a traditional 70s horror movie.
With just some funny parts.
And with cutting edge 80s makeup technology.
Well, I feel like An American Werewolf in London was really kind of a landmark movie, like an 80s horror.
Yeah, the transformation scenes were good.
I mean, still impressive for today.
Yeah. You know those tricks now, but still it's effective.
Yeah. Now, like I said, the movie came out in 1981, although John Landis had the idea for it back in 1970 when he was working on the crew of Kelly's Heroes. Now, evidently, while he was filming Kelly's Heroes, he was in what was then Yugoslavia.
Okay.
And the story goes that him and another guy on the crew saw these gypsies, and they were burying a guy in the cemetery, and they were burying him feet first, like all the way down, and then, you know, so he wouldn't come back.
Damn.
Like as the undead or whatever.
Yeah.
And evidently, this is the story he told, and this kind of fascinated him. So he kind of wrote, he wrote a script about a werewolf and stuff, and he kind of shopped it around, but he couldn't get it made for a really long time because everyone thought it was too weird or nobody made werewolf movies anymore or anything like that. So then he went on and made, several other comedies. Like I said, he made Animal House and he made Blues Brothers and stuff like that. And those were very successful. So finally, he kind of got the funds to make it. And it's funny because it's pretty much as soon as that came out, and this did not happen on purpose, really, but as soon as it came out, a bunch of other werewolf movies kind of came out around the same as Wolfen and The Howling and stuff like that.
Yeah, I liked those. Those were good movies.
Yeah. Actually. And didn't even Stephen King did Cycle of the Werewolf or whatever the fuck that... The movie was shitty. It was one of the Coreys, wasn't it? Corey Haim or something like that. But it was kind of... I remember it being short. Like
I don't
a short
remember
novel.
That one.
Yeah, it wasn't that
this
good. The book was all right.
This is about the time of Salem's Lot, actually, which was made for TV. That was awesome, too.
Yeah. But, you know, okay. So American Werewolf in London basically stars David Naughton, who had been in the Dr. Pepper commercials. I think that was all he had been in.
I didn't know.
You don't remember the Dr. Pepper?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's who he was. Okay. I don't think he had been in any movies prior to that or had only had bit parts, but he had the main part in this. And it was there also Griffin Dunne and also Jenny Agutter from Logan's Run, which
we reviewed
before. She played the nurse. Okay, so the funny thing, okay, so these two guys are college guys, and they're backpacking around Europe like you do. Well, if you can afford it. I certainly couldn't. But, so they're backpacking around Europe, being college guys, blah, blah, blah. Now, they get lost. Well, they don't really get lost, but they're out on the moors.
Yeah.
And even though it's supposed to be kind of the north of England, although it was actually filmed in Wales, which I kind of knew when I looked at it. But so they end up at this pub. And there are all these really stereotypical crabby old pub guys that are like looking at them askance and stuff like that.
They've gone backwards in time.
Yeah. It's funny because one of those guys, I don't know if you guys know this, but one of the guys in the pub, one of the younger guys, is actually Rick Mayall, who actually got very famous later on for being on The Young Ones and on Bottom and a bunch of other stuff. Sadly passed away a few years ago. But this was one of his first roles. So they notice while they're in this pub that there's, you know, like a red satanic looking symbol that's drawn on the wall.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, it's a pentacle.
For some reason, they get like super interested about what that means and they just can't stop themselves from asking the locals what it is.
Yeah, they're Jewish kids. They don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, so they ask, and obviously, you know, if there had been a record player in the pub, it would have been, it would have been like a record scratch. And, you know, the people are like, no, it's nothing. It's just been there a long time.
Yeah.
You know, basically they give them the cold shoulder and stuff. then there, it seems like some of the locals are like, well, when they leave the pub, the lady that runs the pub is kind of like, you can't just let them go out there.
Yeah, you can't let them
go out there. You know the thing that is going on out on the north.
The audience already, as the audience member, you already know that there's a werewolf.
Well, the movie is called An American Werewolf.
Yeah, so you know there's a werewolf. They can't go out there, you know.
Yeah. So they have a big argument and stuff. And meanwhile, this part is actually kind of funny because the two guys, they kind of, you know, they're named David and Jack. I think I forgot to mention that. So they go out on the moors and the people told them, you know, kind of stay off the moors, stay on the road. You'll be fine. Because I guess a werewolf can attack you if you're on the road.
I guess so.
Werewolves don't like that.
Stay on the road.
Yeah. Which predictably they do not because
they
get.
There had to be something about the moon too. Wouldn't they say? Keep your eye on the moon. Keep your eye on the moon. Stay on the road.
Yeah.
I think that's what they told them.
So, predictably, about 5 seconds after they leave the pub, one, they get lost. Two, they're so busy, like, shooting the shit with each other that they wander off the road into the grass.
Well, they were trying to watch the moon.
We can't watch the moon and the road at the same time.
Stay on the road at the same time.
And they get attacked by werewolves. This is actually a very good sequence because you don't really see the werewolf. You just hear these growls. And you can't really tell where they're coming from. And then they're kind of getting closer, kind of getting farther away. And they don't really know where they're going. So they're kind of running. And they're like, where is it? Where is it? And then this big animal comes and takes Jack out.
Yeah.
Griffin Dunn's character. He gets killed.
Yeah. Kills him early.
Yeah. So, yeah, he gets killed like in the first 10 minutes of the movie. Then there's a gunshot because David gets attacked too.
Yeah, he gets
But he lives. And he gets bitten. The pub guys, I guess, decided to come and help them a little bit too late.
Yeah, they tried to rescue him and they shot the damn werewolf.
They shot the werewolf, but then David looks over.
And sees a man.
And sees a naked man there.
Because it had transformed.
Back into a man. Like you do.
He saw it,
if you're a werewolf, you turn back into a human when you get killed.
He didn't know that he was bitten by a werewolf.
Yeah. So then you next see David, and he's been taken to London to a hospital, and he's been out for 3 weeks, which means it'll be the full moon again soon. So evidently, in the town where the werewolf attack happened, they basically, when they had the police come and everything like that, they just told him, well, he was just attacked by a crazy guy.
Yeah.
And Jack got killed and all this other stuff. So David is insisting. He's like, no, we got attacked by an animal. It was like a big dog or like a rabid dog or something like that.
But to me, all the werewolves look like a wild boar to me with a dog head on it.
A wild boar with a dog head.
Yeah, the upper bodies were wide, I guess kind of like human shoulders.
Well, yeah, they wanted to make it look like a muscular man.
Right. To me, it looked a little bit
with a wiry bottom and a wolfy head.
To me, it looked a little bit like a cartoon drawing of a wild boar. It did look cool, I guess.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
But it looked like a wild boar to me.
You know
It didn't have a dog profile.
Do you know what werewolf movie you would probably like is Dog Soldiers? Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's a British werewolf movie. It's very good. I recommend it if you haven't seen it. If you're into werewolf movies.
What was that one? Wolfen?
Wolfen, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. The Howling.
The Howling. Those were both good.
I liked Howling 1.
I remember Wolfen scaring the shit out of me when I was little.
Yeah, you don't see it. You just see it from the eyes of the wolf.
Yeah. Which, in a lot of horror movies, like, if you don't have the money to show shit, it's probably better to just, like, keep it kind of shut because it's scarier.
And there was Cat People, which was kind of like that, too.
Well, see, Cat, that was a remake.
It was a remake.
Of a movie from the 40s. Actually, I kind of liked the 40s one better.
We're getting ahead.
I thought it was creepy. Right. But So David wakes up in the hospital and he's insistent. Now, one of the cops doesn't really believe him, but then kind of does.
Right.
Because he keeps, you know, obviously he's upset that his friend has died and stuff like that. But he's not so upset that he can't start putting the moves on Jenny Agutter, who plays the nurse that's taking care of him.
She kind of put the moves on him, though, too.
She did kind of, She kind of started. They kind of put moves on each other.
Yeah.
Now, while he's still in the hospital, his dead friend Jack starts showing up.
Yeah.
And he's all fucked up. Like, when you first see him, like, I think most of his face is gone, his throat's all torn out and shit like that. But the funny thing about it, and actually John Landis told Griffin Dunn, he said, now every time you turn up in the movie as an undead person, you have to be, like, in the best mood ever. Because for some reason he thought the juxtaposition would be very funny, which it is. So every time you see Griffin Dunn, and you see him like 3 or 4 times in the course of the movie, and he gets like more and more decayed and fucked up looking as the movie.
Yeah, he's showing up in public, so you obviously know that he's hallucinating this guy.
Yeah, well, even though he is hallucinating him, what Griffin Dunn says is that, well, Jack, his character's name is Jack. What Jack says is that, okay, well, I'm here, I got killed by a werewolf, you got bit by a werewolf, that means on the next full moon, you're going to turn into a werewolf and kill people, so you need to kill yourself.
Right.
He's like, because everyone who gets bit by the werewolf or gets killed by the werewolf is doomed to walk the earth as an undead, just like Jack is.
Okay.
So the werewolf's line has to end.
Right.
So basically what Jack is coming back to say is that David has to kill himself before he kills other people who will then be cursed the way he is cursed.
Right.
Obviously, David does not believe this.
Right.
He just thinks he's going nuts. You know, he went through some trauma and he's just seeing a hallucination of his dead friend. So he is subsequently released from the hospital and the nurse, like, you know, she lets him stay at her flat. Because I don't know, like, at what point David was supposed to go back home or whatever. But I guess he was going to go on to Italy after England. They were going to. So he was going to be over there for a while. So he goes and stays at her flat. And, you know, they kind of start hooking up and everything like that. Then Jack appears to him, too, in her apartment. Now, if she had come out to the room earlier, I don't know if she could have seen him. I don't think so. Because I think in a couple times he was in the street. And I don't remember anyone else seeing him. Because he looked pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Like the second time.
He's a ghost.
Yeah. The second time he showed up in her apartment, he was like all green and fucking decayed looking and shit. And, you know, he's like, okay, for real, you are going to turn into a werewolf like tomorrow night. You had better do something about that. The next day, nurse goes back to work. And in the meantime, what the main doctor that had taken care of David's case.
Yeah, he starts getting...
He starts getting kind of interested. He's like, you know, maybe he was attacked by a rabid dog or something like that. And the townspeople were like covering it up because they seemed a little secretive.
He ends up thinking that it's a werewolf.
Yeah, so he actually goes to the town and he goes to the pub where they were last seen. And everybody in the pub is like, I don't know what you're talking about. Those two kids weren't ever here, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
So, but then on the way out, like this other guy who had been in the pub that night, he comes out and he's like, I don't think he specifically says the word werewolf, but he's like, you know, that guy is in danger. You know, he's going to kill people and all this other stuff. Or he says something to that effect. So I think the doctor does start to believe that there's, I don't know if he necessarily thinks it's a werewolf, but he thinks there's something weird going on. So the next day, the nurse goes to work. And while she's gone, David starts getting real antsy, like starts pacing around in the apartment and stuff like that. He doesn't have anywhere to go. Then the evening comes. And here is the centerpiece of the entire film. The transformation sequence, which still looks good. This was 1981.
Yeah.
All done with practical effects. And John Landis specifically said, you know, he talked to Rick Baker, who obviously, you know, big makeup guy, probably the most famous one of the day. And he said, you know, I've seen all these old werewolf movies where they do like these kind of crossfades and or they'll do it in the shadow. He's like, I don't know if this can be done, but he's like, I want the werewolf to transform in broad daylight right in front of you.
Right,
and he's
right.
And he's like, and I want it to look like it hurts.
Yeah. And it looks good.
It really does. So,
I mean, it's
prosthetics and
you know it's
mechanical how
it's
they
not
made
totally
it.
Convincing. It's not convincing, but it looks good.
It really
it still
does.
Looks good, yeah.
I mean, my favorite thing is when he puts up his hand and the fingers like stretch.
And the hair starts coming out.
And the hair
skin.
Starts popping out and his face lengthens and stuff.
Right.
And like I said, that was all done mechanically with various.
Yeah, it looks really good. The movie, really, one of my favorite parts is remember when he starts having visions. It's actually a dream of a bunch of Nazi werewolves. Coming into the house, shooting at him with MAC-10s and their helmets. And
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of really cool scenes in it.
Which, in a lot of ways, and I think I read this in a couple of words, it didn't really occur to me while I was watching it, even though, you know, he had the Nazi dream. And even though one of the other nurses makes the comment about David being a Jew because she had a peek.
Yeah.
he was
circumcised.
Which is weird because a lot of people are circumcised now, so you can't really tell by that anymore. But it was 1981. But I have seen that John...
Maybe it's a British thing.
Yeah, but I have seen that John Landis, that he could have written this as sort of like a metaphor, not necessarily a metaphor, but something like him, David being Jewish is like being an outsider, particularly as he was already an outsider in a foreign country because he was an American and he was in Britain. And, you know, there was some kind of cultural misunderstandings and things like that. But I think he kind of played off the idea of the Jew being the other. Now he's like really an other. He's a monster. He's a werewolf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And his idea of monsters are not only werewolves, but Nazi werewolves. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So he had that dream sequence where the Nazi werewolves came to the door. So yeah, I have like read that and you could see it as that, even though there was only a couple mentions. Mm-hmm. But as it happens, you know, David obviously transforms into a werewolf. He kills a bunch of people. I think he kills six people like the first night he's a werewolf. And he doesn't remember it, but he wakes up the next morning in the wolf enclosure at the zoo.
Yeah. Because the wolf is looking at him like, what the hell? What are you doing in here? naked dude.
Yeah. And, yeah, which led to one of my favorite, and I'm going to put the quote at the beginning with the little kid with the naked man.
Yeah, he's hiding in the bushes and the little boy running around. He's, little boy, come here. Little boy, look, come here.
Which, that's never good, a naked man in a bush telling a little boy.
Little boy, to come here. Funny.
But, yeah, so eventually, it seems like the following day, like as soon as he wakes up and gets his shit together and goes back to the nurse's apartment, as soon as he hears about these six murders that have taken place around the city, he knows that it was him.
Right. He tries to get arrested.
Yeah. Well, he goes and yells at the cop and he's like, arrest me, arrest me. And he's just like, the queen, or he's like starts insulting the queen and all this other kind of stuff, but they don't arrest him.
No, they let him go.
So actually, my favorite part of the movie, one of my favorite parts, other than the transformation scene, was the last time that Jack shows up.
Yeah.
And he's like super rotten. And he shows up outside of a porn theater in London and like calls David. It's like, hey, come in here.
Let's go watch some porn.
Okay. Now, here's a funny thing.
Yeah.
The porn movie within the movie, which is called See You Next Wednesday instead of the obvious See You Next Tuesday, C-U-N-T. See what I mean?
Yeah.
But he thought it would be funnier if it was See You Next Wednesday. John Landis actually filmed that too. Huh. He filmed like a large portion of a porn movie. And that girl that was in it, she was a page three girl, which if you're British, you'll know what that is. Like those ladies that appear topless on page three of the Daily Mirror, I want to say. I'm not sure if that's what it is, but one of the tabloids. And she actually went on to a porn career later on. So, you know, John Landis helped her out in that.
It's funny.
I guess. But yeah, so.
Why the hell would grown men go into a porn theater to watch porn?
Well, you couldn't. It's not like now where you can just see it on the internet or even in the 80s where you could just rent it.
Imagine the weird, kinky crap that fucking happened back in those days. Ugh, that's nasty.
I would, you know what I mean?
Floor's all sticky.
That's what I mean. I would hate to have worked in there.
Jesus.
Like having to mop it up after.
Yeah, man. All these dudes just sitting around.
And fucking Pee Wee Herman got busted for that. Like jerking off in a porn. And that was like much after, I mean, there's really, after the 80s, after the home video boom, there was really no excuse for that.
There had to have been more to that than.
Well, see, I think that was kind of more, I think guys that went there almost had like a little bit of
homoeroticism going on.
Exhibitionism also, maybe.
Weird. Yeah.
But yeah, it does seem like weird to sit in a theater with a bunch of dudes and jerk it off.
That's gay.
Okay. And not in the good way.
So
they're sitting in the back of the porn theater. And now not only can David see Jack, but he also sees all the other people that he killed who are now also cursed, like Jack said.
Yeah.
So at this point, it seems like David kind of tries to do the right thing and kill himself, but he can't bring himself to do it. You know, well, I don't necessarily want to spoil the ending, even though the ending is a little abrupt, actually.
Yeah, one thing about this movie is that in many ways seems like a 70s movie. And in other ways, it seems like an 80s movie. They don't quite have the 80s horror formula yet.
Yeah.
What happened in the 80s, you'd have this big ending where the monster was killed, and then it would come back and you'd have to kill it again.
Yeah.
That wasn't around yet at this
thankfully, because now it's been done.
It's been done so many times. You know you have to kill a monster twice, at least.
Yeah.
Possibly three times. In this one, they just kind of kill the monster. There's not a lot to it.
Well, yeah, because in the theater...
It was anticlimactic, I thought.
While he's still in the porn theater, he turns into a werewolf again and starts rampaging around, killing everybody.
He kills a bunch of people, but then they just kill the monster.
Yeah.
And the way that ends, it seems very abrupt.
Yeah.
And unnatural by today's standards, because we're so used to that. You kill the monster, but then the monster comes back. You have to kill it again. There's a long sequence.
Yeah, they have to build up, and it's like a big deal. So I can see how, in a way, I don't know. It's like it's a weird thing to say about a movie that was made in 1981, but in a way, it's kind of like refreshing because that trope hadn't been established yet.
Right.
So in a way, the ending was a lot more as realistic as the ending of a werewolf movie could be.
Right. It's more kind of like the ending of Jaws. You only killed Jaws once.
Yeah.
You shot the barrel and
he just blew up.
Right.
So, you know, little pieces of him didn't jump back on your boat.
It was like that.
Yeah. So, like I said, it was a lot more realistic because if somebody actually did turn into a werewolf in the middle of London, that's exactly what would happen is he'd start running around and everybody would just shoot him.
Yeah.
And then he'd just be dead.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, I don't think that he didn't really use the trope about silver bullets and all this because obviously they just shot him with regular bullets and...
Yeah. It's a good movie.
It is. Yeah. And like I said, I feel like it's kind of like the bridge between, like you said, like maybe 70s movies and 80s movies.
Yeah.
And
it had elements of both.
And it's funny because being from 1981, the special effects in that were a lot better than movies that came a lot later.
It had the creepiness of a 70s movie.
Yeah.
But it had the special effects of an 80s movie.
And like you said, it's considered a horror comedy. It's not as zany
no.
as some other horror comedies. Like, it's not, like, what was the one we watched? The Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which is actually really good. Which is a more straight, it's very, very gory, but it's also, like, a pretty much a straight comedy just with gore in it. Or, you know, like Shaun of the Dead or something like that, which was kind of a combination. So, it's not as funny as that. It was kind of more, like, subtle humor, black humor. More restrained.
I can remember when this movie came out.
Yeah.
All right. And people liked it then.
Yeah.
People that were older than me that went to go see it, they liked it. You know, people in their teenagers and early 20s. But today, does it hold up? I think it falls into the same category as vampires. Vampires and werewolves are about the same, which I think they've been around for so long that they're not that scary. You know what's going to happen in a vampire movie. Yeah. You know what's kind of...
I enjoy... Like, well... And this is kind of the...
It doesn't compare to, say, like, The Thing. The Thing had body horror. You didn't know what could happen.
Yeah. You know? I mean, and I feel like that's true of a lot of horror movies. I think I like traditional kind of monster movies to an extent, if they're done well. But if I'm going to... I don't find them scary, though. I do enjoy them, like, you know, for the gore, for the just the story or whatever. But if I'm going to find something scary... It's going to be either a ghost story or it's going to be like an unknown type of thing or something that isn't established.
I like the movie. I appreciated it. I didn't find it scary at all.
No, it's not. No. It's not a scary movie. No. Like I said, it had a couple good like tense scenes, but on the whole, it's a low-key comedy / gory horror movie.
It's worth seeing though.
And and by today's standards, it might be considered a little slow. There's a lot of build-up. There's a lot of characterization. Yeah. And then there's like short bursts of like gore and attacks. Yeah. I mean, when he busts out of the porn theater at the end and like with all the car accidents and heads flying off and everything like that, you know, but there's only a few of those.
Right.
Like most of the time in between. But in a way, it's kind of good because I like that they build up the relationship between him and the dead guy. Because the conversations with him and the dead guy, like with Jack, are really funny.
Right.
Like, because you can tell that they're, you know, that they've been best friends for a long time. And the absurdity of the situation, like he doesn't really believe that he's really seeing him and stuff like that. So I like that about it. And a lot of time is spent building up the relationship between him and the nurse and stuff like that. So like I said, by today's standards, it might be a little slow. It's not real action.
I think it was by the standards of that day also because... I'd already seen Alien 1 by this time. And had I saw this when this came out, Alien would have outclassed it easily. Alien scared the hell out of me.
That was
79.
Alien was a very scary movie. But like we were saying before, Alien was... that was kind of like the unknown. You would never see anything like that.
Right.
So you didn't know what that monster could do.
I remember being a kid and coming across like, what was the name of that magazine? Fangoria?
Fangoria, yeah.
Yeah, and in Fangoria magazine, it would have photos of... Things from American Werewolf in London and Alien in the same magazine, and it just didn't compare. I didn't really want to see the werewolf movie that much. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I'd see Alien already, and I'd be like, oh man, I remember when that happened. I wonder what that meant. Wow, what was that alien ship? Where'd that come from? It was scary.
Yeah. You know? It was weird, though, how in the 80s there seemed like kind of a... There was kind of like all the alien and sci-fi stuff going on. And then there was like almost a throwback to like traditional Universal.
Yeah, it was all happening at the same time.
It was a bunch of werewolf movies. It was a bunch of vampire movies.
Well, this movie, it was a British movie. It made in England. So I imagine.
Well, it was made in England. The director's American.
Obviously. He was American. Okay.
But,
it's going to be a little more old school, I think, because they were making stuff that was kind of in old school ways.
Yeah, that's true.
And the format.
Yeah. Oh, and also I wanted to mention, you remember the scene near the beginning where the guy from the American embassy comes in, that real nebbishy looking guy. Do you know who that was?
Who's that?
Frank Oz from the Muppets. He was guy that did Fozzie Bear and Miss Piggy and stuff.
I didn't even think that was a real American.
Yeah.
I thought that was Frank Oz. British guy acting like an American.
I found that out later. Like, I didn't realize at the time because you'd think I would have recognized his voice.
I was thinking, man, that guy's accent's horrible.
You thought he was a British guy playing an American.
Yeah, that's not an American guy.
It was Frank Oz. Maybe he was trying to disguise his voice so he wouldn't sound like a Muppet.
Maybe, I don't know.
Because I can't remember, I can't remember offhand what his natural
British
speaking voice
The British can make good
sound.
Movies, though. You know what I mean? Star Wars actually was a British movie.
Largely, yeah. Basically. Most of the crew was British. Right. Well, and they filmed it over there.
Yeah.
And, well, honestly, and we were talking about this the other day, too, because we were talking about that guy in this movie. Yeah. I was like, it's funny how American actors have a really hard time doing a British accent. I'm looking at you, Keanu Reeves, in Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula.
Terrible.
And Winona Ryder didn't really do it that great either, I have to say.
But British people can pass it off.
But British people can pass as Americans, largely. Do you know, like, I think we had watched two or three seasons of The Walking Dead before I realized before I realized that like half of them were British. Like,
yeah, I'm glad they got a real guy from the South to play Rick. Yeah, that'd be
nope.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Andrew Lincoln is British. The chick that plays Maggie is British. Also.
Yeah, but at least the Dixons were real rednecks.
Yeah, they were real rednecks. Yeah, that was, you know, tell. You had to have some. But I never would have known that in a million years. Because I know he was in Love Actually, that British, but I don't, that's a chick flick. I don't usually see most of those. So I didn't know about that. But so anyway,
we can wrap this up.
Yeah. Oh, I also want to mention too, before we wrap it up, that this movie actually, American Werewolf in London actually won the first ever Academy Award for makeup.
Okay, yeah.
This was the first year that it started. Scene. Yeah, for the transformation scene, sure. Because obviously no one had seen anything like that. So anyway, we're going to wrap this up and get back to our hurricane preparation.
Yeah.
So hope you guys enjoyed this review of American Werewolf in London. We will be putting more movie reviews up when we can. Hopefully it will be soon.
And hopefully we won't blow away.
And hopefully we won't blow away. We'll check on you guys.
Biggest hurricane in history right off the coast of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. So if we're still here, keep on watching and we'll keep putting shows up. And until next time.
Bye.
Bye.